Verse 12, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. It hardly seems befitting an apostle, not only to denounce the false apostles as troublers of the church, and to consign them to the devil, but also to wish that they were utterly cut off. What else would you call it but plain cursing? Paul, I suppose, is alluding to the rite of circumcision, as if he were saying to the Galatians, the false apostles compel you to cut off the foreskin of your flesh. Well, I wish they themselves were utterly cut off by the roots. We had better answer at once the question whether it is right for Christians to curse. Certainly not always, not for every little cause, but when things have come to such a pass that God and His Word are openly blasphemed, then we must say, blessed be God and His Word, and cursed be everything that is contrary to God and His Word, even though it should be an apostle or an angel from heaven. This goes to show again how much importance Paul attached to the least points of Christian doctrine, that he dared to curse the false apostles, evidently men of great popularity and influence. What right, then, have we to make little of doctrine? No matter how non-essential a point of doctrine may seem, if slighted, it may prove the gradual disintegration of the truths of our salvation. Let us do everything to advance the glory and authority of God's Word. Every tittle of it is greater than heaven and earth. Christian charity and unity have nothing to do with the Word of God. We are bold to curse and condemn all men who in the least point corrupt the Word of God, for a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul does right to curse these troublers of the Galatians, wishing that they were cut off and rooted out of the church of God, and that their doctrine might perish forever. Such cursing is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thus Peter cursed Simon the sorcerer, "Thy money perish with thee." Many instances of this holy cursing are recorded in the sacred scriptures, especially in the Psalms, e.g., "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell." Psalm 55:15. The doctrine of good works. Now come all kinds of admonitions and precepts. It was the custom of the apostles that after they had taught faith and instructed the conscience, they followed it up with the admonitions unto good works, that the believers might manifest the duties of love toward each other. In order to avoid the appearance as if Christianity militated against good works or opposed civil government, the apostle urges us to give ourselves unto good works, to lead an honest life, and to keep faith and love with one another. This will give the lie to the accusations of the world that we Christians are the enemies of decency and of public peace. The fact is, we Christians know better what constitutes a truly good work than all the philosophers and legislators of the world, because we link believing with doing. Verse 13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In other words, you have gained liberty through Christ, i.e., you are above all laws as far as conscience is concerned. You are saved. Christ is your liberty and life. Therefore, law, sin, and death may not hurt you or drive you to despair. This is the constitution of your priceless liberty. Now take care that you do not use your wonderful liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Satan likes to turn this liberty which Christ has gotten for us into licentiousness. Already the apostle Jude complained in his day, there are certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Jude 4. The flesh reasons, if we are without the law, we may as well indulge ourselves. Why do good? Why give alms? Why suffer evil when there is no law to force us to do so? This attitude is common enough. People talk about Christian liberty and then go and cater to the desires of covetousness, pleasure, pride, envy, and other vices. Nobody wants to fulfill his duties. Nobody wants to help out a brother in distress. This sort of thing makes me so impatient at times that I wish the swine who trampled precious pearls underfoot were back once again under the tyranny of the Pope. You cannot wake up the people of Gomorrah with the gospel of peace. Even we creatures of the world do not perform our duties as zealously in the light of the gospel as we did before in the darkness of ignorance. Because the surer we are of the liberty purchased for us by Christ, the more we neglect the word, prayer, well-doing, and suffering. If Satan were not continually molesting us with trials, with the persecution of our enemies, and the ingratitude of our brethren, we would become so careless and indifferent to all good works that in time we would lose our faith in Christ, resign the ministry of the word, and look for an easier life. Many of our ministers are beginning to do that very thing. They complain about the ministry, they maintain they cannot live on their salaries, they whimper about the miserable treatment they receive at the hand of those whom they delivered from the servitude of the law by the preaching of the gospel. These ministers desert our poor and maligned Christ, involve themselves in the affairs of the world, seek advantages for themselves and not for Christ. With what results they shall presently find out. Since the devil lies in ambush for those in particular who hate the world and seeks to deprive us of our liberty of the Spirit, or to brutalize it into the liberty of the flesh, we plead with our brethren, after the manner of Paul, that they may never use this liberty of the Spirit, purchased for us by Christ, as an excuse for carnal living, or, as Peter expresses it, 1 Peter 2:16, for a cloak of maliciousness. In order that Christians may not abuse their liberty, the apostle encumbers them with the rule of mutual love, that they should serve each other in love. Let everybody perform the duties of his station and vocation diligently, and help his neighbor to the limit of his capacity. Christians are glad to hear and obey this teaching of love. When others hear about this Christian liberty of ours, they at once infer, if I am free, I may do what I like. If salvation is not a matter of doing, why should we do anything for the poor? In this crude manner, they turn the liberty of the Spirit into wantonness and licentiousness. We want them to know, however, that if they use their lives and possessions after their own pleasure, if they do not help the poor, if they cheat their fellow men in business and snatch and scrape by hook and by crook everything they can lay their hands on, we want to tell them that they are not free, no matter how much they think they are, but they are the dirty slaves of the devil and are 7 times worse than they ever were as the slaves of the Pope. As for us, we are obliged to preach the gospel which offers to all men liberty from the law, sin, death, and God's wrath. We have no right to conceal or revoke this liberty proclaimed by the gospel, and we cannot do anything with the swine who dive headlong into the filth of licentiousness. We do what we can. We diligently admonish them to love and to help their fellow men. If our admonitions bear no fruit, we leave them to God, who will, in his own good time, take care of these disrespecters of his goodness. In the meanwhile, we comfort ourselves with the thought that our labors are not lost upon the true believers. They appreciate this spiritual liberty and stand ready to serve others in love, and, though their number is small, the satisfaction they give us far outweighs the discouragement which we receive at the hands of the large number of those who misuse this liberty. Paul cannot possibly be misunderstood, for he says, "Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." In order that nobody might mistake the liberty of which he speaks for the liberty of the flesh, the apostle adds the explanatory note, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Paul now explains, at the hand of the Ten Commandments, what it means to serve one another in love.